12 o'clock.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Good to have you with us, everybody. We are excited to be with you. Appreciate you dialing in and tuning in and however it is, or downloading and listening to us. Appreciate you being with us again this week. It's July 15th, Monday. I always say that for those that are downloading. You know, which broadcast am I looking at? July, listening to. You will be looking at us shortly. We're working on some things where you'll not only listen to us, but you're also going to be able to look at us and look at all the notes that we're putting up and blog is why we're doing it. Pretty exciting things under development here. Appreciate you being with us each and every week. This is the first of a broadcast of its kind. It's produced by Mortgage Professionals for Mortgage Professionals, and it was the proud winner being awarded the Progress in Lending Innovation Award of 2013. Actually, it was 2012. We're in 2013, but it was for last year, and we're excited to be the proud owner or a recipient of that award is the best way to say it. We've got Scott Gordon with us a little bit later in the broadcast. He's the founder and CEO of Mortgage, Open Mortgage, and he'll be talking to us about a book that he's written, Social Media for Loan Originators. Fascinating discussion. Scott comes from the world of technology and will be sharing with us his thoughts on how and why he believes, and I share this with him, that social media is going to be the way we're going to be doing business in the future more so. And I know we had Rick Rubio on last week, and we all agree that the best thing is face-to-face, but there are an increasing number of people are coming into relationship with loan originators and realtors through social media. So we can't ignore it. We're going to be talking about it. Very excited to have Scott Gordon on with us in a little bit. But as we also want to say a special thank you to United Guarantee for being our sponsor. They are celebrating their 50th anniversary. They've been in business for 50 years. That is a long time, and especially going through some of the challenges that they've gone through. It's very exciting to have them be a sponsor, and we congratulate them on their sponsorship. I encourage you to head over to our website, lincolnonlending.com, click on our United Guarantee website. It gets you out to where you need to go, but exciting stuff. Let's get right into what's going on the markets. Joe Farr, good to have you with us.
Hi, Dave.
Good. Yeah, it's raining here in Central Texas, and so we welcome that. It's
crazy. Yes, we do.
Challenges technology-wise for us a little bit, as you know. But bottom line, are the markets raining? I mean, what we got weather-wise for the markets?
Depends on your perspective, I guess. In some places, rainy's not good, but here it's great, and that's what's happening in the market today. We're having a good morning.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, MBS prices are up 14/32 on the day. We've seen a number of favorable price changes already. You know, it started out not so good. We were down about 10/32 before the retail sales number came out, and it was a good bit disappointing. That's an oxymoron, isn't it? but it was bad enough to be good for MBS. The retail sales, their expectations were for about an eight-tenth increase. Only saw four, and when you exclude autos, there was no increase in retail sales. So, immediately upon the announcement, MBS prices improved from that down 10 to up about 4 or 5 and have been rising fairly steadily since. So we're getting back, you know. Last week, I'll just go ahead and get into that. Last week, we recovered a good bit of that awful day we had on Friday, the Friday jobs report day. You'll remember on the Friday of the jobs report, we lost about 2%, had lost about a half a point prior to that. But during last week, we recovered over a point, about a point and a quarter in price, and here we are. We're up again almost half a point. So we are really close, Dave, to having reversed the entire loss that we had on Friday. And
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it is encouraging, but at the same time, it can be frustrating because, you know, all this is happening kind of at the whim of the Fed. You know, what do people think the Fed's going to do? What's this new news mean the Fed's going to do? This morning's retail sales is another indicator of why the Fed might consider to delay the tapering of the MBS purchase program. So as was last week's 360,000 jobless claims. I mean, every little bit of data now is exaggerated, is exaggerating a market movement based on how not only that data might affect inflation in the economy as it's supposed to, but more how is it going to affect the Fed purchase program. And so lots of volatility. We saw a good bit of volatility last week, but net-net, it was all very good. We did see Wednesday when the Fed minutes came out. The minutes displayed a very significant disagreement of among the Fed members as the meeting began, in that half the members went into that meeting with an expectation they expected that the purchase program should have ended by should be ending by the end of this year. And so that really caused a great concern in the market. But then the next day on Thursday, in a Q&A following a speech he gave, Bernanke went way out of his way to assure the markets that an easy policy was justified for a long period of time. And as a result, the markets recovered a good bit of the price late in the day, and the stock markets improved as well. Last week, you might remember, we hit an all-time high in the Dow last week. So it's kind of a classic movement. When the movement is driven by the QE, it's good for stocks and good for bonds.
Yeah. It's amazing that just, you know, how the Fed speak can just have such a dramatic effect on both equities and bonds. So,
yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So there's some pretty important stuff coming out from an economic perspective. As we've seen, everyone's waiting to hear what Bernanke's going to say, and he's got 2 days in front of Congress beginning Wednesday at 10 in the morning. So there will be a lot of attention paid to what he says. He's likely to get a lot of hostile questions, and so it could be a market moving at any time, especially that first day, because usually the second day is just saying the same thing over. You know, he does it once to the House and once to the Senate. Economic news coming out next this week. CPI comes out tomorrow, as well as industrial production. Housing starts on Wednesday, Thursday, jobless claims, Philly Fed, leading indicators on Friday. But again, most of the attention is going to be paid to what Bernanke has to say.
Dive back to Bernanke, and of course, always ready for some surprises coming out of Europe or Asia. I mean, all the different aspects of the world markets impacting us and political events around the world. It's just like, you know, you got to have a service like MBS Quoteline, folks. If you don't, you're in trouble, especially when markets move as quickly as they are. Joe, thanks so much for bringing it
to
us. And they give us an update. Good to have you with us. Folks, we are broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, in the middle of a downstorm, so you may hear rain on the roof here a little bit. It's raining so hard at certain parts where we're at, so great to have you with us. We're welcoming this rain, though. Wow. Something you should also welcome is MBS Quote Line. It'll keep you from getting wet when the market starts, when the tide starts rising. Stay high and dry with MBS Quote Line. Be right back after this brief break.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoteline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoteline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market,
whether you're in the office or on the road.
See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to mbsquoteline.com to start a risk-free two-week trial.
mbsquoteline.com.
646-716-4972. The Lickin on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Good to have you with us, everybody. I appreciate you tuning in. We're so fortunate to have so many people working with us on this broadcast. Paul Mall is on the line, and he brings us an update as much as he can. Sometimes he can't get here with us each and every week, but we appreciate when he is. Paul, good to have you on. Of course, Paul is, by the way, for those of you who don't know, should know this. Oh, you know who Paul Apollo is. He's like a legend in the industry as far as reporting what's happening. You are, Paul.
I don't like going that far, David.
But you know what? One thing you're doing now that's very exciting is you're writing on the E side of the business. Electronically, you got a blog out there, WWIMF News. Better add one more W there, 3WIMFNews.com. And you're tracking the stories. And what do you have for us today, Paul?
Well, a few interesting developments. We have a warehouse expert, Michelle Perrin, telling us that she's seeing signs that some banks are willing to make warehouse lines backed by private money loans. Now, before you throw up your hands and say hallelujah, the deal size that she's talking about is $5 million, which isn't a lot. But, you know, it's funny. We're hearing little nibbles here and there that, you know, non-agency, non-jumbo lending is starting to heat up a little bit. There's two, interesting with people in D.C. area, there's two fairly large credit unions, the largest being Navy Federal, which a lot of mortgage bankers are aware of because they compete against them because they lend money to federal military all over the U.S. They are actively promoting and advertising a no-money-down mortgage. I'm not saying there's no credit checks, but it's no money down. I think they're willing to go up to whatever the Fannie Freddie limit is in this area, which is $700,000, whatever, and change. So, you know, there's signs that the non-agency, non-jumbo market, there's some life there. It's perking up. You know, the fact that warehouse banks might, you know, extend a little bit of credit on it is an interesting and a welcome development. So that's out there. That's one of our stories on IMFnews.com today. The city's lending numbers came out. Their residential fundings fell a little bit in the first quarter, not a lot. But what's interesting about Citi and all the other banks that we've been reporting on the last few days in their earnings, all of them are marking up the value of their mortgage servicing rights.
Right.
And, you know, that I guess it's not unexpected, but rates have risen enough and delinquencies have fallen enough that some of these banks are basically saying we've been a little bit too conservative here. We're going to take back some of that value. So that's another interesting development. We also have numbers from Brandon Ivey, our reporter, about the jumbo MBS market. We just got done with our second quarter jumbo MBS rankings. It was a pretty good quarter. A few deals got done at the end of the quarter despite the rate spike. You know, there was a real fear that the jumbo MBS market might get clobbered because of that rate spike. You know, there's been some pain there from what we understand, but it looks like that business should be okay. It's going to take a little readjusting. So that's out there. MBA had a press conference this morning with the media. I wasn't there, but our Charles Wisniewski was there. Basically, Dave Stevens is warning that, you know, if Congress doesn't get serious about some kind of GSE legislation, that what happens in a vacuum could be dangerous or be what he called an imperfect solution. We're trying to get more on what happened there. We'll have an update on that tomorrow. And there was a report in the Hill newspaper, which is sort of like roll call and covers the Hill, that they were quoting people that were optimistic about GSE bill. And we're all blown away here because we, you know, as far as we're concerned, we have talked to no one who's optimistic about any GSE legislation passing.
I'm really interested. My take on that, I mean, how can they, GSE legislation, when it's being used to fund, you know, when GSEs are funding, you know, INS and different aspects of the federal government, it's bringing $16 billion a quarter in revenue into the government. How are they going to, what motivation does the federal government have other than just get some headline stuff? You're going to get headline attention with some of these statements, but I just can't wait to hear what the MBA, I can't wait to read your article on this, what you guys are writing on it, and I'm going to be tuning in tomorrow That's my first blog I'll be checking out to read about it. That's really great. It's good that you guys are there.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing, anyone, no one in the, I haven't spoken to one person who's optimistic in the entire nation about any kind of GSE or housing bill passing this year or next year. No one thinks anything's going to happen of merit until 2014. So it's basically status quo, and the FHFA will, you know, manage Fannie and Freddie the way they have been, you know, as a conservator slash regulator, making the moves and changes that they feel are necessary. So.
No question that there's I think it's a headline getter for a politician. That's about it. But we'll see what happens. Well, I can't wait. Folks, you got to go check out the www.imfnews.com and read the article tomorrow. What else you got for us today, this morning?
Well, that's all the good stuff. There's some other reports out there about you know, supporting Congress for lower no support in Congress for a lower loan limits. That doesn't surprise anyone.
Yeah.
You know, Ginnie Mae is talking about combining their mortgage-backed securities, the Ginnie Mae 1 and 2 programs. That is something. Yeah, I'm not an expert on that. George Brooks of our staff wrote about that. I might talk to Ted Tozer hopefully this week about that topic. So combining Ginnie 1 and 2 programs into one program, that'll be an interesting development for MBS. Ocwen is continuing to, you know, pitch refis to the ResCap portfolio of customers it bought. That's probably no surprise either, but they're sending out HARP refi notices to people who don't need a HARP refi, so we put that in our daily as well. So that's all the good stuff. We'll continue to, you know, cover the markets as they progress.
www.imfnews.com. Get on the mailing list. Get those updates. Paul's writing. Others are writing. It's a great group of folks to get to know. And, folks, if you're looking for a place to advertise, you create some exposure, I encourage you to check it out. Call Paul. I'm sure he can hook you up with Mary over there, Advertising Front. Great blog to get some advertising out as well. Just a heads up to some real good friends. Great guy and the team there. Thanks so much, Paul, for taking a few minutes to be with us.
Thanks for having us, David. Take care.
It's an honor to have a great rest of the week. And I'll be reading your article. Keep them coming. Thanks. Alice, you're always in the news. We're checking up. I mean, it's like one of those things. There's the IMF news following up on that, and then there's all the other stuff, Alice, to be following up on. What do you say about that? Are you there, Alice? I got you.
Yes, I'm here. Yeah.
Oh, good. That's right. You're logged in as a host. I'm looking at the switchboard. You're hosting
the switchboard. Well, not running. I turned it on. That was important.
You turned it on just in case. But folks, I got to tell you a funny story. Alice and I are talking. I said, Alice, I'm in a rainstorm. I'm late because all these incidents. I got to catch a flight right after the broadcast. Is there any way you could run the broadcast for me? And so she's logging in. It was hilarious. So I get to the top of this parking garage where I do broadcasts. I've got real good connectivity. I get up here on the cell site's dead. We were scrambling literally minutes before the broadcast. So the joys of mobile technology and mobile broadcast. But something that is also just keeping us on our toes is the legislative update. What do you have for us, Alice?
Well, I think the big news is that we now have the final amendments to the ability to repay. So if you recall, we talked about this when it was a proposed rule. Now it's final, and they did make some clarifications. And I tell you, Dave, it's hard. You know, I have many years of an underwriting brain with me that I have never forgotten, in the sense of, you know, the detail it takes to make a loan decision, and you know how underwriting today is at some shops painful, right? have this. I need an explanation for the inquiry and the new $7 account that was opened at the local department store. So, you know, you think of when we're going to federalize underwriting detail, it makes me nervous. You know, I read through this and they've tried to make some clarifications in this final rule of how to underwrite is essentially what they're giving us. And they did add that if there is an item that's not specified in this rule, then you can defer to the selling guide, to the Fannie or Freddie selling guide, and you can still be in a safe harbor. But then they turn around and say, this shouldn't be used that often. And to me, there's so much unsaid that I can see there are going to be a lot of loans where it's not clear in the reg, and so you have to go to the selling guide. And then they want to make it, of course, very clear that the rule overrides the selling guide. And I'll give you a classic example, and that is rental income as an example from you own rental properties. And, you know, you can look at rental histories sometimes, especially in a portfolio scenario, and you can see that the borrower had a one-time rental expense or cost to improve a property due to, like, a fire, right? They had a one-time
right.
extenuating
yeah.
circumstance, and you wouldn't necessarily count that against the customer in some ways for underwriting. Well, the ability to repay rule says the only thing you're ever adding back in is depreciation. That's it for rental income.
Right.
So I think especially portfolio lenders and some of you who might make some case-by-case decisions, this is a very detailed analysis and really level setting your underwriting with what does it say in the rule and how do we see at our shop that we're deferring from this written guideline, and we are finding we have to go to the Fannie Freddie selling guide for details. So this is, to me, we have it. At least now we can move forward. But the minute you start to say, hey, it looks like the markets are getting better, or like the MBA's risk index looked like there might be lenders getting more lenient, I read this and I see a lot of companies who will be fearful to say, I need to have bright lines in my underwriting because I don't ever want to be out of a safe harbor. And so this is the challenge. So take a look at it. So the good news was they added that piece about being able to defer to the guide, but the challenge with that is only sometimes, and nothing in the guide overrides starting with the ability to repay first, which are some pretty tough guidelines. So that's my heads up on that one. Oh, here's another big one that's a big difference. Your DU and LP findings will not necessarily align with ability to repay documents. So think of that
really?
Those of you who are risk managers. Well, right, because they're gonna punch out their list of underwriting guidelines. It's going to be up to the underwriter to then say, I've got to make sure I pick up everything under ATR, which is essentially FHA's underwriting guidelines. Here's a classic example. Ability to repay says you're going to need corporate tax returns and a year-to-date profit and loss statement. That's documentation for a self-employed borrower. You might not get that feedback message every single time. So it'll be a project for Fannie and Freddie even to get to the point where they're giving us feedback that matches ATR. So heads up, folks. This is something that I think you've got to start training your underwriters now and work as if DU and LP aren't going to be perfect is my recommendation at this point. One last big point in the bill's front that I want to make sure everyone's aware of is there. You've probably seen in several of the news wires that there was a group between Democrats and Republicans to get out a bipartisan version of the FHA Fiscal Solvency Act. I just need to put in front of you what that means because we should see something this week in a bill that, again, we'll watch to see whether or not it actually gets legs, but they've got to do something with FHA. We've heard from some sources that FHA is not planning on increasing MIP premiums the rest of this year, but then this bill is going to give them authority to do so. It's going to put some tighter rules in place. I think that we all have to watch on what's going to happen with our final, you know, position as a lender on how much risk we'll have. You know, would lenders, how much indemnification risk would we have in the events of defaults? And I think there's going to be some heavier reporting on EPDs and collecting of data from subservicers. So we'll watch for this and report more on it next week.
Lots to be tracking, and you and your staff are so dedicated to doing that and bringing it to us each and every week, Alice. We cannot thank you enough, and also thank you for being the backup here. And folks, I'll be on vacation next week, and Alice is going to be your host of their show next
that's
week.
That's right.
Yes,
hey, Dave, I have to add one thing about what I just said. I have to make sure the notes that I just talked about in terms of the reporting and the data from the subservicer, that's based on what the prior bill said. We don't have final text.
Okay.
Right, so we don't have final text yet. So those comments that I just made are from my notes about the House bill version that they were working with. So we'll see what we actually get on the other side here. So heads up on that. I just wanted to make sure that was clear.
Good deal. Thank you for the clarity. You always bring us clarity. Appreciate you, Alex, bringing it to us. And, folks, we're going to be right back. We remember we've got Scott Gordon right after the break talking to us about social, the social media world. How can you as a loan originator make this work to your advantage? Great discussion coming up here shortly. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals
providing classroom and web-based delivery
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lickin.
Good to have you with us. Several people go, hey, what happened to Tony Garantano? Where's Andy? Well, they both are on vacation. You know, we got those vacation things going on in the summer, and they are having a good time, and I'm happy for them. But we appreciate each of them and wish them the very best. And just again, want to say thank you so much to. I'm looking up and down the switchboard. We've got people calling in from all over the country. And even more listening, dialed in live, not to mention the tens of thousands dialing in, listening, or downloading and listening to it. Thanks so much for making this broadcast a part of your getting information. Appreciate it very much. It's a social media kind of thing. It's new. It's a blog. That's how I found out about it. Was blogging it. I'd rather talk than write. And I figured it out. And so we got into doing this, and we're so excited about, you know, the special guests. One of the privileges of doing this, we get special guests on here. We've got one right now. Scott Gordon is the founder and CEO of Open Mortgage, which is a national mortgage banking company. Scott is a serial entrepreneur. He was a CEO. He's an author and investor. Scott is passionate about the social media world and mortgage marketing specifically. And senior finance. He comes with a strong technology background, and I'm excited to have Scott on the program. I should mention, by the way, he published his book, Social Media for Loan Originators and Loan Officers. You got to get that book. Really, probably one of the best books I've read, and just detailing how, you know, it's almost kind of like Social Media for Dummies, but he's not a dummy. He's so smart. He kind of helps some of us that may need a little help in coaching. Scott, good to have you on the broadcast.
Hey, good morning, Dave. How you doing?
Good. Excuse me, other than I'm choking right now. You choked me up to get so to this topic. It's so good. Scott,
I know, you sound very enthused about it.
Well, you know what? I am social buttons. I am excited about social media. We had Rick Ruby on last week. In fact, I'm going to be with Rick this coming tomorrow, playing golf with him tomorrow afternoon out in Charlotte. Looking forward to that. Scott has definitely said, you know what? There's three types of things. There's three straight ways to contact. He says, you know, you do social media and get in touch with people through email, electronic. That's good. Better is over the phone. The best is the question is belly. And I think what we'll never say is social media will never take the place of interacting socially directly. So I don't want to – we're not coming against that comment at all, but it is becoming a growing part of everyone's life of how they start. And we got some statistics we're going to get into just a little bit into the broadcast. And Joe and Alice, I apologize. I was going to send you all these questions and that, so you just jump in here anywhere along the way. This discussion free-flowed along. And
sure, what is this? Stump the guest? Playing stump the guest?
We definitely. I don't think we're going to stump you. You came from, I think it's important to establish for our listening audience, you came with a strong technology background. You were not in mortgage banking. You're an serial entrepreneur. You did some things in technology. And so it's logical that you'd be kind of staying in touch with what's going on. So give us a good idea of your first background in technology and some of the things you did real quickly.
Well, I was a software engineer for 21 years doing operating systems internals, which is kind of boring stuff. But, you know, after that, I've started six companies and sold three of them, and the one thread that kind of ties it all together is I always try to use technology to make my company more efficient. That's the benefit of technology. It's not magic. Sometimes it's just a smarter way to do things.
Oh, Scott,
when you talk about Rick.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned Rick, and it reminded me, I had a friend tell me 13 years ago, he said, Scott, successful mortgage people always grow and nurture. They have their network, their database. It's all their past clients, all their friends, family, you know, everybody they know. Every day, you need to grow your database or nurture the people in the database. So that's a, wouldn't you say, 30, 40-year-old strategy?
It is.
Social
and
media,
now,
that's just a way to do it now.
It's
the same strategy.
It's a new way to kind of connect with people and accomplish that relationship nurturing ability. So let's get into that. You just published a book on this topic. And so one of the reasons you wrote this book is to help loan officers know how to use this. What was the inspiration behind the book? How did you get this thing? Sitting down and write a book's not a small task. Why'd you do it?
You know, that's a good question. We always try to be helpful to our offices, our branches. And I believe in social media myself. I was using it myself, and I started thinking it would be good to help people understand some of the things they do. People ask me, well, what should I do first? And as I answered people's questions, I realized I could put down, you know, at least, like you say, social media for dummies, at least clarify for people some of the things that I think aren't obvious. You know, it's intimidating. Some people think social media, that's a whole other career. Well,
yeah,
it doesn't have to be. You know, you can start. Everybody listening here should have a LinkedIn account. I mean, I hope they do. Maybe there's five people listening who don't have a LinkedIn account yet.
I think most do.
But that's,
I mean,
that's social media.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you want to see an example of a LinkedIn pro, go look up Dave Licken on LinkedIn. He has a great page.
It's serving. I look at how many thousands of people I'm getting connected with, and it is so effective for building tools. It's a tool of connecting with people and getting to know people. Certainly,
well,
I
have to interrupt you. I have to defend LinkedIn. Although Reid Hoffman, I just read that he's worth $3 billion, so I don't need to push LinkedIn.
Yeah,
but,
no kidding.
But there's another. Even if you say I don't really want to do social media. You know, LinkedIn is like your online resume. It's your professional CV. Even
right.
if you don't want to do social media, people are going to look you up when they meet you. If they go out there and you don't have a LinkedIn account, or almost worse yet, you've got a LinkedIn account, but you've only got 16 connections, and you're not listed as, you know, following NARMLA or the National Mortgage Bankers, you know, you're not connected with people, they're going to say, oh, well, maybe he's just a beginner. Maybe he's not really connected to people, you know, they're going to have a second thought. So even if you're not going after social media, you need to look good, and people are going to look, and you need to have a decent profile.
LinkedIn is a great way to do it. What's so nice about LinkedIn and that profile is, unlike Facebook, which will not tell you who's been looking at you, LinkedIn will actually email you and say who's been looking at your profile. So if you have a prospect you're working with, and you're wondering if they're serious to work with you or not, and you find out they went into LinkedIn and checked you out, then you kind of go, hey, I think I may have a live one on the line. Or the guy that's checking out before they call you. And it's saying, oh, yes, and how impressive it is to say, yes, I saw you checking me out on LinkedIn. Good to have you. Good to visit with you. And I am getting those notifications every single day, and it's a ton of people that are checking out because of the radio program, different things we're doing. Fascinating.
Yeah,
that
is a great.
What
yeah, I was
going to
say,
LinkedIn?
That's a great point, getting the follow-up information.
Let's get into talking about, you know, young people on this. We have this old guys, and 62 years old, turning 63 next month. I'm going, you know, even some of us old dudes, old guys, I think of Alice and Jan. Jan, they have a website or an old group they call Old Mortgage Hags, or there's Old Dude Hags or something. So us old dudes can get on here. But, and, you know, certainly the young people are online, but don't. The kids call it a digital. They're digital natives. I mean, what's the digital native term?
You know, children are fearless. I see that. In fact, I love this story. My son is 9 1/2. Of course, he's going to be a little of a techie growing up with me. He's 9 1/2. He learned to play chess at school. And my father, his grandfather, loves chess and told me set him up an account on chess.com, and then we can play chess online. So one day I set him up an account right before we went to dinner. we go to dinner, we're waiting for the hamburgers or whatever, and my two sons are frantically on their iPhones. I said, what you doing? He said, oh, I'm playing chess with Papa. So I set him up a username and an account. It occurred to him that chess.com, the webpage, probably has an app. He found it, downloaded it, found out how to find his grandfather, challenged him to a game, and they're playing chess. So those
are
the digital...
cookie. Isn't that cool?
But it's not, you know, I don't do many mortgages for 9.5-year-olds.
No, that's true.
But the people in their 20s and their 30s and their 40s, it's a whole spectrum of people, you know, using online tools in different ways. And a lot of people do use that stuff. There was a Pew Family Research poll recently, and being an ex-software guy, I don't want to say the number and have it, say it wrong, but the number kind of astounded me of how many seniors are online now. You know, I like to say grandma's on Facebook.
Yeah.
And if you think about your own family, more and more seniors are online. I run into resistance. You know, in our ranks, we're really interested in senior finance and reverse mortgage in our company. We have a number of branches who focus on that. And some people will tell me, well, you know, seniors aren't online, so I don't have to do social media. But it's not true. They
That's
are
not
online.
The case. That is not the case. Yeah, it is so true. But there's, I'm looking at some of the notes you sent over, and there's this thing called Google Plus. I want to get into that at some point in time, but I want to get Alice and Joe in to the discussion, see if there's any questions, just ping you guys for any questions you guys might have or thoughts you have as we start there getting into this discussion. Alice?
Well, I think it's just, as you were bringing up, it's a generational thing in some respects. You know, when do you think it's just going to be completely archaic? I mean, if it isn't already now. I mean, do you think it's now to be thinking I'm going to have most of my customers still face-to-face? Or, you know, kind of give me your view on timeline and generations, because there's a lot of folks
that still rely on face-to-face.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the tipping point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tipping point concept. When is it all going to shift over to social media?
You know, I'm worried sometimes that it's already shifted and I'm behind the curve. And I mean, I'm a guy who went to write the book, but I always feel like I should be doing more. There's always more you can do. I mean, that's a nice part about social media. You can start so small, just have a LinkedIn account. But then there's always more you can do. I mean, you've taken it to the level of having a national radio show. But I want to kind of not get away from the idea that face-to-face interaction is always great. I think the social media tools, I like to say, found, known, and trusted. You want to, that's, you know, adding people to your database is being found. They have to know who you are, and eventually they need to trust you. So the social media tools allow you to get a broader reach of people knowing you and trusting you. In loan origination myself, I wouldn't try to do loans in multiple states. I'd focus on my community, you know, and have more focus on one niche or one at least geographic area. I would work with realtors every single day of my life. And those are meet face-to-face relationships. But you can back it up with all the social media stuff.
Joe, you blog, and I mean, you got your newsletters you're pumping out, and any sense of, you got a huge customer base, thousands and thousands of LOs using your system. Any sense, Joe, that you have of the adoption rate of which your audience or your customer base is using this?
Dave, I know that it's very, you know, there are lots of people on it. I couldn't tell you how many, and we're probably one of those companies, especially me, behind the eight ball when it comes to using social media. But, you know, it leads me to the question for Scott. Because when I think of social media, I think of things like tweets and blog posts and Facebook friends. You know, how do you... Well, one, do you separate those things? Do you find much value in some of those communications, those posting kind of things like Facebook and Twitter?
Great question.
If you do, how do you see LOs doing it successfully, meaning creating contacts and subsequently revenue.
Yeah. One of the things, and I'll lean back to something Dave said, which is that I wrote the book, and some of this probably takes more time, and I'd invite people to get a free copy of the book and read it. But there is this spectrum of things, and the first, you got to be on LinkedIn, even if you're not going to do social media. I would say the second is to have a blog. A blog is just a web page, and I don't know if people realize blog is short for web log. People started a diary online. But today, a blog is a page where you're doing a post every day or twice a day, or even
once a week. I just learned it. I did not know that's where that was the origin of the name blog. Okay,
that's where blog came from. And the whole thing about a blog, yeah, web log. The whole thing about a blog is that you're posting content somewhat frequently. So compared to a static web page that just has your name, address, a paragraph about you, Google's going to look at that and say you're more relevant. So like I said before, you want to be found, known, and trusted. Well, how do they find you? They search for refinance or reverse mortgage or whatever they search for. And if the person's in Austin and they search for mortgage and Google knows that you've got this page, that the titles of the page and what you say in the paragraphs, and in fact, if you have videos, Google plays your videos, translates the text, and then can search the transcript of what you said.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're listening to what you're talking about to make sure that that's what your website is really about. So the reason I say do a blog second after LinkedIn is because that's how people find you. Then Facebook, I would add Facebook. And you ask, would I do all of these things? I don't do Facebook as a social media tool. I use Facebook the way somebody's grandmother does, with my friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I don't need it. For a loan originator, it may well be a good tool, but if I were a loan originator, I'd have two accounts, absolutely separate, my friends and family account and then my professional account with a professional page.
I'm chuckling because I do just that, and I got two Facebook accounts, David Licken and Dave Licken, and my David Licken one is where I put myself. We were out paddle boarding, and I was in my swimsuit, and my daughters were taking pictures of me laughing as we were falling in and all that. I don't want anyone out there to be looking at my fatness when I'm on there, so we don't post those on the David Licken Facebook. We don't.
That's right.
Family knew that, and so I think there is that. So there's ways to do it, but also you can separate out. You can have it like that's what Google Plus is all about. You're able to set these circles out where you can say only this group can look at it. And technically, you can do it in Facebook, but I'm not that proficient, so I took the lower technology route. Let's just have two Facebook pages. But you know, someone who uses it very, very effectively. We were talking. Paul Mallow was talking earlier with the NBA's president, David Stevens. David and I are friends, Facebook friends. I know where David's at. I know what's going on. But it keeps he and I in touch with each other. And when we do get together, say, "Hey, I got to see what you're doing. I saw you were out on the boat this weekend. I saw you were doing this." There is so much value in that relationship building component. So you've kind of got into talking with Joe's question, talking about what's the first thing you need to do. So now that you have that, you're recommending the blog. And that's something I find really interesting is the blog has the power. And so explain that. So, and it also has an SEO or search engine optimization component. Talk a little more about that, if you could expand on that.
The reason I say to do the blog second, even though it's scarier, doing a LinkedIn profile, that's easy. I'm going to do a blog. What? I'm not really a writer. That's scary. But
true.
Your blog,
check that one up.
Yeah. You know, but you can go to WordPress or Blogger and set up a blog for free. So many of these tools are free. LinkedIn is free. You and I use a premium version. When it's, you know, as you get a little experience, then you're ready for that. But you can set up a blog. They've got templates, and you can set the blog up and use that doing posting to get information out there. But you have to remember with social media, it's about what can you do for other people. So your blogs can't all be about, you know, you could be a blog author and be famous complaining about your husband, but it won't get you any mortgage business. You know, there's a lady, the blogger.com has a
the she has all the reason to be writing that, but she probably is not.
That's right. So when you do posts, it's helpful information. Now, as you know, I do a video once or twice a week, tape my own videos, edit them with inexpensive software, and that's great, but you don't need to do your own videos. You don't even need to start out writing your own posts. You know, you can do what's called curating. That is looking around the web, finding relevant articles and posts, and sharing that through your blog. That gets you started.
I got to jump in. You know, who does that extraordinarily well is Bill Coppedge. He's got the MortgageNewsClips.com website, and what he does, he gets up at 0-dark-100, I would say, 4:30 in the morning, and he's checking out all the news and everything, and he takes the most relevant things that he thinks are the most interesting, and he doesn't even write about them. He just does what you were just talking about. He puts each of those into this blog, and it's the one place you can go to at least build perspective and see what he thinks the stories you should be looking at. It's very effective and very powerful. And then also,
and
like Paul Mallow, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say there's an interesting effect that happens. You say, I'm not an expert and I'm not a writer, but the more you search, you know, look at the web every day, and there's lots of sources, the more you look for those articles to post, the more you'll discover you become an expert, and you'll post a link to an article, but you'll want to write a sentence or a paragraph about why it's important or what's relevant. And pretty soon you're going to want to write your own post. So you sort of naturally become the expert that you wish you were.
Well, like everyone says, I'm not a writer. I'll argue that. Hey, do you have email? You write. Everyone's a writer. Now, you may not think you're a great writer out there, listeners, but the reality is you're writing. So what would you be saying to someone that's in your community? I mean, with one of your associates, someone that's just out there. I mean, we are all writers. And I had someone call me up on that, and they go, Dave, you don't think you're a writer. You think you're more of a doc. Well, Dan, you know, you may borrow that. But the reality is you write every day. You write tons of content. Joe does, Alice does, I do, we all do. So why don't we post that out there? Very good. I mean, people can do it. And if you feel comfortable like what you're doing, just put a bunch of news articles together that are important, like what Bill Coppedge does. And so walk us through the book a little bit. So what are some of the other tips that you recommend for those that are listening that are saying, how can I start building a relationship? Bring it to the how the tire meets the road with a specifically to the LO.
Well, you know, then I'll pull it back to grow and nurture. So whether it's LinkedIn or Facebook or your blog, you need to have people that you're connected to. So you need to go to your city, your location where you want to do business, and just start getting connected with people. Of course, I'm always doing LinkedIn connection requests to people in the industry. And my email address is scottgordon@openmortgage.com. Anybody listening, you're welcome to connect to me. I tend to connect to people in the industry. But a loan officer would want to connect to people in their community.
Right.
And you could imagine going around getting connected to the kind of people who have higher value properties. And then when you do posts, of course, you don't want it to be about just about the weather or just about, you know, your family or your wife or not. You got to avoid your posts being about you. But if your posts are like the things that Alice was talking about, brought down to a level that how does it impact the people who are borrowers, then you're giving them helpful information.
Yeah.
You know, we have that thing. Most people out there don't need a mortgage today, but some do. And most people out there will need a mortgage here in a few years. So when they need one, it's all back to the basics, recency and frequency. When they need one.
Recency and frequency. I like that.
Yeah, you know, that's from grow and nurture, from your network. So it's back to when they need one, they go, who's that guy who's always, Dave Licken. That's right, he's always doing that thing. And let me look him up, and I find him on LinkedIn, and now getting asked about a loan. I mean, I'm the CEO. I don't do any loans, but I get people asking me for help with loans every week, and I have to hand them off. But it's just because I'm out there.
Right.
And,
very,
you know,
effective.
When you talk about the payoff, the first time that somebody contacts you because they saw your website or your blog, and you realize you just got a free lead, that gives you a lot of encouragement to go find some more articles and keep going on that path.
Let's talk about your book. You can buy it on Amazon. Again, it's the title of the book is Social Media for Loan Officers. And but they can get it free. Talk to us about it. Tell us a little bit about how they can get the book free. Joe needs to get this book. I want to encourage Joe to get it because I want him to. He's got to come a little bit further forward here.
Well, everybody needs, you know, we all need to keep going to whatever the next step is, either starting, if you're not doing social media now, because having your blog be trusted by Google takes time, but a year from now, it's going to be a year from now, and you can either have a year of experience under your belt, or you can still be having nothing.
Yeah.
So to find my book, there's two ways. One is through my blog, which is the video mortgage marketing blog, and that's called openmortgageceo.com, and there's a link through there. You could also go directly to winningoriginator.com, and through that path you can get an ebook, either PDF or iPad or Kindle, several versions of it. I mean, that's another key thing to remember about social media. It's about connecting and sharing. So when I had the idea of writing the book, I partly just wanted to see if I knew enough to write a book, you know, and anything that I know, I want to share.
Yeah.
Social media is about sharing. It's what you do on this show, bringing, you know, we get together as a community and we share and we learn things, and then we all get ahead because of that.
Yeah. And it's this thing called freemium. I mean, I love that expression. I read it when I was listening to it one time on a TED video, TED.com. I love the videos on there and the little talks that they give. And one of them, someone's talking about freemium, and it's what you offer is free, but in a premium way. So and you're giving this book out. It's to help people. You have a passion to help people, and you've got a great company. Okay, so now let's give a little opportunity to tell people a little bit about your open mortgage company. Tell a little bit about it, where you're based out of, and what markets. If people are interested in learning more and getting connected with you, how can they do so, Scott?
Well, we are in 26 states, but we're spread everywhere from Georgia and Florida to Hawaii. So all over the map. We're a national mortgage banker. We've been doing forwards, of course, for a long time. For the last few years, I'm really interested in reverse mortgage. In fact, in June, we were listed as the 14th largest reverse mortgage lender in the country, which was even surprising to us that we made it that level. But, you know, if I had to stop for 1 second, and this is a TED video idea. You mentioned TED. Everybody should look at their videos. They're phenomenal.
Yes.
One of the TED videos, they said, why? You've got to know why you're in
the
business.
Our why.
And ours is because we believe better is possible. You know, we can do a better job for our borrowers. I can make the company a better place for loan originators to work and grow their business. And I seriously also work on making it a better place for my corporate employees to come to work. Because if they're not happy, how happy are people going to be who talk to us on the phone?
Exactly right.
So that's, you know, kind of our philosophy, and I think that ties back into social media. Again, just echoing that social media is just these new tools that let you communicate with people and do the natural. We all want to network, and we all want to get recommendations from our friends, not from ads. And that's kind of what it's about.
Scott, we appreciate you taking so much some time out. Appreciate you so much for coming on the broadcast and sharing for free information, and they can get even more information for free. So, folks, check out winningoriginator.com, www.winningoriginator.com. Also, check out Scott's blog, openmortgageceo.com. And, Scott, if they wanted to call you, what's the phone number they can best reach you at?
Best is 512-492-3306.
And they can, of course, learn more about you, get your bio and your background, all that, by going on LinkedIn. Great place. You keep it up to date. Scott, thank you so much. Wish you the very, very best. And it's such a privilege to have you. It's a lot of fun. We got to have you back and talk to you more about it. I picked up a couple things. Now I know where the name blog came from. So it's the B out of web and blog, so there you go. We got it. Learned something new, and I love the origins, the etymology, the origin of words. Etymology, and I think it is etymology is the study of words, the origin of words. I'm always trying to figure out where it starts. It helps me remember it a little better. Scott, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it, and have a great
week. All right,
week,
Dave.
And look forward to having you back.
All
right, folks,
bye-bye.
Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's Trot can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's Trot has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's Trot can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel's Trot represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel's Trot today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel's Trot, the single source solution for your quality control needs. And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lickin' on Lending Show.
Appreciate you tuning in here. Not only broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, but I'm literally sitting on the roof of a parking garage en route to the airport. Kind of great location with great cell coverage and for decent data coverage. We appreciate you tuning in and being with us. Alice Alvey is going to be running the broadcast next week. Alice, I'm looking forward to having you doing it. I want to tune in and listen. Not going to be able to participate, but I'll be at least dialing in and listening. And I can't wait to hear what you got. Of course, we'll have all the regular guests on. And Andy will not be back. Prophet Doctor won't be here, but Alice will be running it. And a lot of things to be talking about and getting updates on what's going on in the world of regulation. And so, Alice, go to the website if you want to learn. Hey, you can check out our website, www.lickinonlending.com. We'll take you to the Blog Talk Radio website. We're about ready to launch our own separate new website. Very exciting about that. And a lot of developments. And we're also going live with live video feeds and live data. So when we were talking about, so many people call and say, Dave, I write down feverishly everything Alice is saying and everything Joe's saying, but gosh, is there a way to bring it to the screen where you can show us? Well, we're about ready to do that. It's going to be pretty cool. I was up in Wisconsin working on it this last week with a technology provider. That's going to help us bring that all, make it all reality. It's been a dream, and so it's something we found the right partner, and it's going to be happening. So good stuff. Joe, what's the markets doing as we get ready to wrap up the broadcast?
Dave, they're holding on. Still up 13.30 seconds, so about where we started the day. The Dow's up just a little bit, up 25. So we're holding the morning improvement.
Holding the improvements. Alice, I can't wait to tune and listen to you, Alice. Joe and Joe, you're going at it. So.
Well, it'll be the Alice and Joe show next week. So Joe,
all right.
You're on with me, right? Yeah.
Okay.
What do you want to talk about? Do you really want to talk about Basel III?
I don't know.
I think it's a great topic. I think it's one of those things you look at what the banks, I mean, let's put it this way. If you start getting down that path, I know I'm going to be listening in. I'll wake up early. I'll be out on the West Coast up in Seattle and Eastern Washington up in the mountains, but I'll be tuning in. I'll listen.
Oh, I think we'll watch the news and we'll come up with something great to cover for next week.
Yeah, no question. Folks, appreciate you being part of the broadcast each and every week and telling others about it. Special thank you goes out to the folks out there that make this possible, United Guarantee. It's the 50th anniversary, 50 years in business. That's amazing. We really appreciate them being a sponsor on the broadcast very much. Say thank you. Also, the Alamo and all the others, if you're interested in advertising with us, get a hold of us. You got a lot of people wanting to advertise, so jump in here before it gets too late. Have a great week, everybody. Looking forward to talking to you next week. Alice, I'll not be here, but Alice, Joe, and company will. Have a blessed week, everybody. Talk to you soon.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Crowline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week and thank you for listening.